28 chapters in the book of Acts. There's really two sections left for us to study. I don't know that I'm following a... I'm outlining chapters and sections as we go. I didn't try to put them together to see how many sections I counted. We would actually call Acts chapter 20 and 21 the third apostolic ministry of the Apostle Paul. When you, after Acts 21, when you get into chapter 22, right to the end, Paul, it's going to be Paul's prison life. He's going to spend a lot of years in prison in Jerusalem, Caesarea, and eventually into Rome. And so anyhow, that last section will cover after Paul's arrest and imprisonment that takes us to the end of the book of Acts. But chapters 20 and 21 is the what's generally called the third apostolic ministry of Paul. He's already conducted two others, and then in between that, he spent all that time at Ephesus that we've been studying about in chapter 19 of Acts. But now in chapter 20, he's going to leave Ephesus and conduct that third ministry. Let me read to you the first, I guess I'll read five verses, and then I want to talk to you about chapter 20 and a little bit about chapter 21, and then we're going to look real close at least verse 1 and maybe 1 through 3 of Acts 20. Acts 20 verse 1 says, "After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came unto Greece. And there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he supposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Synduas, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas." Well, at this point, I mean, every time the Apostle Paul did an apostolic journey, I put the chart up, or the map up, and I've said before that you might not be able to actually see the cities, but certainly as I point, you can, from where you're sitting, see the territories that we're talking about. By the names of places, just in those five verses there, you realize you need to be a little bit familiar with the Bible and the map. And if your Bible has a map in the back, I think they certainly the Pew Bibles do, and you can't see and you want to actually identify the cities, you might get one of those out and have them sitting there and follow that along. It becomes important. As you go through this section, there's going to be a lot talking about places and actually timing. It's kind of fun. There's things I get caught up in, I spend hours and realize, you know, if I teach that, they're going to think I'm crazy. But it's really some of the things that we're going to look at. To me, it's like, I know that Linda gets into it, Sanja does it as well, is they get into genealogy and study, trace the family tree, and there's so much on the internet that you can actually find out about ancestors. I can tell, not me, Sanja can tell my dad more about his ancestors than he knows. And it's just amazing. You think, how did that information get saved all these years? So it gets real interesting, and you get absorbed into it. Well, that if you think I'm crazy because of some of the things we're going to teach, it's because it gets so interesting, you get absorbed into it, and all I'm talking about is Paul went from Macedonia to Achaia, and you go, oh, what's so big exciting about that? Well, all kinds of details about that, and so we'll be looking into that. That's why I say I'm not sure how many verses we'll actually cover. But as Paul launches the third apostolic ministry, you'll get an idea because we'll look at some verses that will tell us exactly what he's going to be accomplishing. But in the section, in chapter 20, verse 1, all the way through chapter 21, verse 14, is Paul's Jerusalem to Paul's journey to Jerusalem. He's going to leave Ephesus in chapter 20, verse 1. And then when you get over to chapter 21... verse 14, verse 15 is when he comes into Jerusalem. So the point of he's going to go through the Gentile territory and stop at the different Gentile churches. You'll see what he's accomplishing, ultimately heading toward Jerusalem. So it's his journey to Jerusalem. Once he gets there, in Acts chapter 21, verses 15 through 40, we'll be studying his arrival and the events that take place. Once he gets to Jerusalem, And as I just informed you, when you get to chapter 22, he's arrested. Actually, before the end of chapter 21, he's arrested, and then we'll talk about his prison ministry within the book of Acts after that. But that's the things that we'll be covering. Now, I don't know if you've read ahead, but Acts chapter 20, there's going to be a lot of movement, as we just read in those few verses. There's going to be a lot of timing issues that are going to be given to us. But there's also a lot of interesting events. For instance, in verses 6 through 12 is the incident of the man who was in the third story, the third loft. And Paul preached all the way until midnight, and he fell asleep and fell out of the window and died and was resurrected. Are you familiar with that? That comes up in this chapter. I just let you know some events that are coming up. The other main event that comes up in the chapter is in verse 17 through the end of the chapter. Paul meets with the Ephesian elders, and he gives quite a statement to them about his past ministry and his present ministry, what he's conducting, and a warning to them about their ministry and future. So that becomes an important part of chapter 21. And in between that, he first moves into Macedonia and then goes into Achaia, and then and then there's this section of northern Asia where he's going to be working his way down to finally Miletus, where he'll finally leave and then go over to Caesarea and finally Jerusalem. So those are the movements that he'll make, and we'll follow those. Now, chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him his disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia." Now, I'm just assuming, even though it's been a couple weeks, that we've spent enough time in Acts chapter 19 that you remember this big uproar that took place at Ephesus, and Paul was there, and he didn't go into the arena where they were all gathered praising Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. And anyhow, the town clerk settled all the uproar and calmed everything down, sent everyone back to their business. And that's where you pick up in chapter 20 and verse 1, that after the uproar was ceased, after that everything calmed down, it says, "Paul called unto him his disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia." So those disciples that he's talking about are the disciples that are at Ephesus. He's going to leave the city of Ephesus. That's where he's at all of chapter 19 long. And I say that to you because within the same chapter, within a very short amount of verses, Paul's going to embrace those Ephesian elders again. But I want you to know that just shy of a year is going to go by between verse 1, and then if you look over to, say, verse 17. No, that's too far. Well, verse 16 says, it says, "And Paul had determined to sail past Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hastened, if it were possible for him, to be in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church." And then he's going to have a meeting with at least the elders of the church at Ephesus. So the point is that he leaves in verse 1, and then by verse 17 he's meeting back up again and has this long statement with them. But in between that, that's why I say things are just shy of a year. The reason I say they're shy of a year is, come over, hold your place in Acts, and come to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, when we were in chapter 19, we pointed out several of these verses, especially when we dated the writing of 1 Corinthians. But there's details that are being said here that'll be real good for you to know as you're reading chapter 20. So you might be familiar with this, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and get this fresh in your mind. I know we've gone here two, maybe three times already, and I thought, well, man, people have already been here enough. They know it as well as you do. But the trouble is, I've gone here 20 times, looking at all the different details that fit in and where they fit in. And if I needed to do that, well, maybe you need to do it more than three times too. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, Let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever I shall approve, when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I bring, send and to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But now I tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, there's so many details there. That emphasis in verse 8, you know that when he wrote 1 Corinthians, he was at Ephesus. That door of effectual is what Acts 19 verse 11 is describing. So that time of 3 years or 2 years of Acts 19 verse 10 is when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. And then he actually, when we later read in Acts chapter 20 and he meets with those Ephesian elders, he'll say that he was with them 3 years. Well, that's what you're reading here, that he's going to abide there at Ephesus a little longer. He's going to stay another season. So Paul will end up with 3 years at Ephesus and then finally depart. But the other thing about that, verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 16 says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. So we know that he's got some timing involved, that when he stays, even up in that verse, you look up at that verse 16, but I can't see the word. Yes, verse 16. It may be, like when he talks about him finally coming to them, it may be that I will winter, that I will abide and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whither I go. So Paul's got some timing in mind. I'm going to stay at Ephesus, but I'm going to come and see you, and if I get down there, I'll probably get down there before winter, and so I'll just stay with you through. I mean, you're not going to sail through the seas in the wintertime. So he's thinking that he'll get to Corinth and be able to winter with them through that time. So you'll learn those events, and don't forget the main event. Like when you read the book of Acts, you're going to see Paul journeying in Acts chapter 20. You have no idea what he's doing. You just see him going to the churches. It's when you read Romans 15 and 1 Corinthians 16 that you realize he's taking up a collection. When we get to the book, when we look at Acts 20 verse 3 and study the book of Romans in relation to that, we're going to see that he's taking up a contribution for the poor saints at Jerusalem. All you're going to read is when you get over to chapter 21 is when he gets to Jerusalem, he gives them the gifts. But you don't know what all that's about. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans tells you what it's all about. And those events are taking place in Acts chapter 20 and chapter 21. So your Bible fits together, and actually those epistles give you more information about what Paul's doing and why he's doing it than you're going to get in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, you get more of the historical statements of the movement. So just from reading 1 Corinthians 16, you know that there's a collection, and he's gathering a collection up, and there's some people that's going to accompany the collection. He's not just going to take it himself, so thanks for the money, I'll make sure I get it to Jerusalem. there's going to be people that are trustworthy people that are going to be appointed to travel with Paul, if indeed Paul goes, and he will end up going, to Jerusalem with that collection. They're going to take that collection and give it to the poor saints at Jerusalem, and there's going to be a representative from all the Gentile churches that are going to accompany that money and that gift to the poor saints that are at Jerusalem. Now, that's an important event, and we'll talk more about that in chapter 3. You don't know that's happening in chapter 20, verse 1, but that is what's happening, so you can see that there. But the reason we're looking at this point, again, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, right? So at Acts chapter 20, verse 1, it must be just after Pentecost. Acts chapter 20 and verse 16, it says, for Paul determined to sail by Ephesus, now this is some time later, because he would not spend the time at Asia, for he hastened, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. That's a year later, isn't it? So he's moving it, and that's part of what you're going to see in this timing. He's got this third apostolic ministry is not going to be years long. He's trying from the time he left to get to Jerusalem within a year with this money. So he's going to spend time, and Luke's going to help us with the timing of these things. Pentecost. Are you familiar with the Jewish feast days? I have a calendar that's a Jewish calendar, and I open it up, starts in October. That's the first month of the year for the Jews. the Day of Atonement. So anyhow, Pentecost. I'm talking about Day of Atonement is the first year. I just talking about my calendar. Yeah, if you're talking about Pentecost, that's really the issue here. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. Passover is always the end part of, not always, it's usually about the end part or middle part of April. That makes Passover usually the last part of June. So somewhere mid to end of June is when Paul is leaving in Acts chapter 20, verse 1. And before that next Passover, he wants to be in Jerusalem. So these events are going to take place kind of quick. So those are some details that we pick up already. Now, when we talk about Paul launching, we call this the third apostolic ministry. Remember Acts chapter 19 and verse 20, that there's this outbreak of special miracles and the Word of God grows and prevails. In Acts 19 and verse 21, it says, "After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, 'After I've been there, I must see Rome.' So he sent into Macedonia," now this is important, "two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Epaphras, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season." So that's that last year that he stayed there at Ephesus. And he's sending, like when you read 1 Corinthians, he even tells them that he's sending Timothy to them. So if you got to go through Macedonia to get to Achaia. Now, got all these little note things in here. When I talk about like this, the first section, verses chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, we're talking about two areas particularly that we're going to concentrate on. Paul is going to leave Ephesus. There's Ephesus. And he's going to go through Macedonia. That's this upper section here. And then into, it says there, he came to Greece in verse 3. But Greece is this lower section. That's where Corinth is at. There's Athens, so that'd be Greece, and there's Corinth. So Macedonia is the territory of the north, and the southern territory is Achaia. He's going to pass through Macedonia and Achaia. Now notice that order. He said that when we read 1 Corinthians 16, he said he's going to pass through Macedonia and come to Achaia and winter with them. Said the exact same thing in Acts chapter 19, verses 20 and 21. That's his plans. First of all, what he's fulfilling in Acts chapter 20, beginning to start, is the plan that was hatched back there in chapter 19, verses 20 and 21. So he waited till that last time at Ephesus. It's Pentecost. Pentecost is over. Good time to travel. I mean, you're middle of summer. Get on a ship. Move. So he's going to go, it says there, and after chapter 20, verse 1, the verse we're studying, "After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia." Now that tells you something else that you need to realize. To go to Macedonia, I'm going to show you in a minute, Paul had other plans at one time to go from Ephesus. It would be a shorter course just to go right over across the Aegean Sea there and come straight over to Corinth. Well, Athens or Corinth. But no, Paul says he went to Macedonia. To go to Macedonia, Paul traveled by land north till he came to Troas, because the way that you always read in your Bible, someone going into Macedonia, even the first time Paul went into Macedonia, when he had that Macedonian vision back in Acts chapter 17, they came to Troas, and then from there they sailed to Philippi. So Paul's down here at Ephesus. If he's going to go to Macedonia before he goes to Achaia, he's got to go north and landwise, go over to Macedonia, and then come back down south to go Macedonia and Achaia. So what that plan was is how he's carrying it out here. And he's going through that way. Now, come with me to 2 Corinthians. Again, I know we read these verses. 2 Corinthians is after 1 Corinthians. Not just in your Bible, but when it was written. So somewhere after the plan was hatched, during Paul preparing the Corinthians for his arrival, there is a time in which Paul thought, you know, maybe I won't go from Macedonia into Achaia. Maybe I will go from Achaia into Macedonia. Here's what I mean by that. For 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15. He says, in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way hitherward unto to Jerusalem. So what Paul's saying there, he says, you know, I was thinking about this, is leaving Ephesus and coming to you, and then going from you up into Macedonia, and then coming back down to you so that you get a second visit, not just one visit. And then, since I'm already south, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'll just take the passage this way to Jerusalem. And he says, I was minded to do that. Now, we know that he didn't do it that way, did he? So the Corinthians are actually mad at Paul because they heard you were going to come visit us, go into Macedonia, come back to us, and now you don't. You go to Macedonia first, and you come to us, and before it's done, when you read Acts chapter 20, verse 3, he goes back north. After he visits the Corinthians, he goes back north into Macedonia and then to Jerusalem, so that the people in Macedonia got two visits, and the Corinthians only got one visit, and they get pretty mad at Paul about that. Now, you got 2 Corinthians there? Now, Paul said he was mindful to do that. He was going to do it. His plans got changed. And so he's warning them, look, things change. You know, plans do get changed. But he also adds this information in verse 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul. You know, I was thinking about that. You know, my parents, did you ever hear that phrase, cross your heart and hope to die? I mean, that was like cussing at my house. Yeah, I guess that was just something you didn't do. And other people say swear to God, but we would never use God's name that way, so that never became part of the vocabulary. But, you know, that's a real strong statement Paul's making there. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul. In other words, what he's telling them, look, before God can judge my heart. I had plans to come to you, but look what he says. That to spare you, I came not yet unto Corinth. Not only did Paul change his plans and not have two visits with them, he did it for their sake. He said, you can ask God if you want. He didn't say that. I call God record upon my soul to spare you. I didn't come. See, the Corinthians had not yet responded to everything Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. They're still deciding whether they're going to believe Paul, follow Paul, do what Paul said. Haven't repented of some of the things they needed to repent of. And Paul says, look, if I would have come, in Acts chapter 20, verse 1, if I would have left Ephesus and came straight to you, you wouldn't have liked it. I wouldn't have been a nice guy. I changed my plan to spare you, because I want to give you more time to get things in order before I come. And so there was a change of plan on Paul's part. See, all that fits in our study here, which is significant, first to know he went there, and now you start to understand not only what he's doing, but why he's even doing it in that order. But follow along in 2 Corinthians. He had sent Timothy, first of all, to get, you know, start the collection, get things going. But Timothy, apparently his ministry didn't have a big effect on the Corinthians' life. Paul spares them. Just keep following. Well, I'll just keep reading. I'm going to read verse 23 again and just read into chapter 2. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not yet unto Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Now, John Verstegen has adopted verse 24 as his ministry theme. Not that we have dominion over your faith. God, to God be dominion, to Jesus Christ, dominion and glory forever and ever. Paul didn't, he wasn't a pope. He said, not that I have dominion over your soul, but he wanted to be a helper of their joy. That the spiritual things he's teaching them and trying to have them correct in their life is for their joy. It's for their good. And not just that he's dominating them. By the way, if you ever want to go to John Verstegen's website, it's helpersofyourjoy.org. Try org or com. But helpers of your joy. That's, he took it from that verse. Chapter 2, verse 1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again unto you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad? But the same shall be made sorry by me. So he'd rather rejoice with them rather than them sorrowing and him sorrowing. He said, I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye should know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. So, just the beginning of that Paul determined, I'm not going to go there with heavy heart. I'm not going to go there scolding them, then I'm sad and they're sad. So that's what he's to spare them. He's given them more time to deal with the things that they need to deal with. Just jump over to verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. So, getting some things down here. I told you the way to go from Ephesus to Macedonia is you had to go back to Troas. When Paul writes 2 Corinthians, when he got to Troas, there was an opportunity for him to stay a while. But he's in a rush. He's not. You can see that, how he's going to make all these journeys and get to Jerusalem within the year. So he left Troas and went into Macedonia, just following that pattern. And he was hoping that when he got to Troas, apparently Paul had already sent Timothy and had no success with the Corinthians. He then sent Titus. Titus is a little stronger. And Paul's waiting before he gets down to Corinth. He's waiting from word from Titus about, okay, how are the Corinthians doing? Well, when he got to Troas, no, there's no Titus. He goes into Macedonia. He's waiting for Titus. Come over to chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, and then he goes on talking about the fact he's so glad that they repented because of those things. See, when he got to Macedonia, finally Titus showed up. And when he showed up with a good report. The Corinthians have changed. They've repented. And that's when Paul's all excited about those things. Now he can plan to go from Macedonia down into Achaia to Corinth to see the Corinthians. He spared them, and now he's got, there's no reason to hold back. He's got a good report from Titus. Now, so he's got a good report. There's two more things that I want to show you, just how all this connects. What is Paul, why is he journeying? Is it just to minister to them, to preach to them another time? No, that's what I mean. He will do that, there's no doubt. But why is he going there in the first place? Yeah, to all of these journeys. No, that was earlier. He's now coming back. I heard someone say the collection. He's taking up a collection. Remember 1 Corinthians 16, get ready, first day of the week, keep setting it aside. When I get there, there's no collection when I come. I say that to you because the greatest chapters on grace giving in Paul's epistles is 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. That's where you find what giving is all about. Why? Because that's what's on Paul's mind. And that's what he's preparing the Corinthians for, that when he comes about this giving. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, that is, we want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entry, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this we did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us also by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Paul's up here in Macedonia, and he's writing from Macedonia, the Corinthians saying, oh, you wouldn't believe the giving that's going on here in Macedonia. These people are giving beyond their means. They first gave themselves. Now I'm sending Titus. He's met me here. I'm sending him back so that you get together so that the same grace is operating in you as well. Grace giving. And you can read about what grace giving is by finishing reading this chapter. So, all that is coming out of Acts chapter 20, verse 1. You wouldn't know it until you connect all these verses. But I'm not done yet. Remember, there's some people that just aren't quite settled that Paul's the apostle, that we should follow Paul. You know, remember all the way back to chapter 1, I'm Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ, I'm Paul. There's still some people that are still, you know, while the Corinthians are repenting, there's still some people causing conflict. And I always get a kick out of the 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It has nothing to do with our study. I just love reading it. Because there's been a repentance. Paul's refreshed, but he gives them this last warning. He says in chapter 13, verse 1, this is the third time I am coming to you. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being now absent, I write unto them which hitherto have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you, your word, is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And then he says, examine yourselves. That you want a proof of Christ working in me? You keep rebelling, you keep talking against me as an apostle, watch what happens when I get there. He's got some apostolic authority here. And he's going to put down those that are rebelling against him. I mean, that's pretty tough language. So I just throw that in as a little extra of Paul's arrival at Corinth there. But the reason we read all those verses is not just so that you could see how all that fits into Acts chapter 20, verse 1. It's to convince you that Acts chapter 20, verse 1, look at those verses again. It's kind of like more in verse 2, but look at the verse. After he leaves Ephesus, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone through those parts and had given them much exhortation, now that much exhortation means he spent some time there, he came to Greece. So before that last phrase in verse 2, during that time he was in Macedonia giving that much exhortation, that's when he wrote 2 Corinthians. And you know that because of all the verses we just read. He's planning to come. I'm holding off. Titus met me here in Macedonia. And you ought to see the collection going on in Macedonia. You put all those verses together, you know that by the time, see, when it says he came to Greece, when he came to Greece, here's Macedonia, and now he comes to Greece, he's there. He's just outside Corinth. And in fact, it never says that he goes to Corinth in the book of Acts. The implication, look Acts chapter 20, verse 3, and there abode 3 months. So when he goes to Greece, he's going to spend 3 months at Greece. It's during that 3 month stay at Greece that he actually goes and visits the Corinthians and makes that second visit that he's now free to make. So while he's in that territory of Macedonia, you could write, I have it written in my Bible, all those different references. I have to give them to you again, I guess. But that Acts chapter 20, verse 1, and the first part of verse 2 is when Paul wrote 2 Corinthians. So we know that that epistle was written then, and we will talk about the importance of knowing when Paul wrote those epistles after we get done with verses 3 and 4. But that's one of the reasons that we looked at all those events, and as well, so you can understand more of what's taking place there. A couple other things before we leave verse 1. I determined that looking at verse 1 and 2, that much exhortation, that Paul was probably there 6 months. And I want you to think about that. We know that when he departed in verse 1, it was just after Pentecost, right? We know that from 1 Corinthians 16. He told them he's going to stay at Ephesus until Pentecost. So it's just after Pentecost. Pentecost is what month?
June.
Middle to the end of June. So if he was, if verse 2, that much exhortation, was a 6 month period of time, what month would it be before he goes into Greece in verse 3? Yeah, it's December. When he goes into the Greece, what did he tell the Corinthians that he might do with them? He might winter with them. How long is he in Greece?
3 months.
So what month does he leave Greece? March. Good, springtime. Now he can travel again, right? And when he gets close to Ephesus, hey, I'm only a month away from Pentecost. I got to get moving here. I can't spend much time with you. So it's a little bit, not exactly sure, but certainly he didn't leave Greece in December. So it looks like he spent about 6 months time in there. And during that 6 months time is when he wrote that. And it's also good for you to remember all the things that we studied already. If he went from Ephesus to Troas and went into Macedonia, do you know the first city he would have went to? Revisited. I say revisited because the first time he went there, remember the Philippian jailer? Philippi, where he was thrown in jail? Well, he's now back. And he gives them much exhortation. If he leaves Philippi, when he left last time, he went into Thessalonica. Got to visit the Thessalonians again. He got thrown out of Thessalonica in 3 weeks the first time, but he gets to go there. After he leaves Thessalonica, he goes down to Berea. There are grace churches there. He's going to the churches that he established, but now someone has gone before to prepare the way that they're taking up a collection that they're going to send with Paul down to Jerusalem to help the poor saints that are at Jerusalem. Paul visited certainly those churches that we read about already, but I wonder, since it's been years now, remember he was 3 years at Ephesus before launching this third apostolic ministry. It's been years since he spent a year and a half at Corinth after he left Macedonia the last time. So 5, 6, 7 years since he's been to these churches. Do you think that maybe there's other churches that sprung up since then? So when it says he gave much exhortation, he's going around to the Gentile churches that are now established, running on their own. And on their own in the sense God's Word and God's Spirit. But through the elders that have been established, they have that ministry, and Paul goes back and revisits all those places. So after he's done all that, the last thing said in verse 2, he came to Greece. Now, all that stuff we studied in verse 2, we got to do the same thing again in verse 3. Because something special about what takes place while he's in Greece, and I'm not going to take the time to try to do it in 5 minutes. So we're going to stop with our study there. When I was preparing all this and looking at the outline, I kept thinking to myself, boy, I get to teach verses 6 through 12 today. Yeah, I thought we were going to talk about Eutychus, but we won't even, maybe we'll get to him next week, maybe not. But just what we did, I hope that the benefit of putting those things together will help you just realize the importance of your Bible, how it fits together, the real life experience of what's going on. Perhaps even keep thinking ahead, we'll look at it next week. Why is it that he's taken a collection to the poor saints at Jerusalem? Real significant. But we'll save and teach all that next week.
Tom, is this where they picked Luke up in verse 5 and 6?
Yeah, we didn't get there, did we? Yeah. When you see what Luke's talking about in verse 5, these going before tarried for us at Troas. Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, he's the us. That means Luke joined Paul in his travel. And the first time, if you go back to our previous studies, the last time you saw Luke is he went from Macedonia. He met up with Paul at Troas and went to Philippi. After Philippi, you never read of Luke again. But when he leaves, now here's Paul back in Macedonia, and when he's going to leave Macedonia the last time, he's probably coming Philippi to Troas, the backwards direction. There's Luke. So Luke probably lives at Philippi and he keeps joining up with Paul when it comes, but he's going to continue to travel with Paul after that point. But that's ahead as well.
What is there today? All Catholic churches now?
No, that is...
Eastern Orthodox?
Oh, yeah, well, it's... Macedonia is... where was Jim stationed the first time? Kosovo. That's what that is. I almost have to do an overlay how far Russia came down, because the reason I say that is that area is pretty much atheistic, but there would be any of the Eastern Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, that kind of thing, but that's pretty much of a dead religion as well.
I noticed that he kind of avoids Thrace. Is there a reason?
What?
That place, Thrace, it goes from Troas to Macedonia. It seems that Thrace, the green area there, is Thrace.
Oh, yeah, no, no.
What is that, the part of Asia he wasn't supposed to go into?
No, I have no idea. Don't forget, this is a very mountainous area.
Okay.
So how many cities? When we studied how he went from Troas to Philippi, he actually passed through Nicopolis, and it says he passing through Nicopolis came to Philippi. Well, my question was, why didn't he stay at Nicopolis? Why did he go to Philippi? And it says, which is a colony of Rome, meaning that Paul intentionally skipped the smaller city to get to the main city, because Paul had a strategy in spreading the gospel. You get it in the main cities like Corinth and like Philippi and Rome. You get the message there, it'll spread to the rest of the world. So that might be, there might not have been a major city that Paul would go to, and if it's just all countryside or something, he would let the people from the city take it out to the country. He concentrated on metropolitan areas, which is another reason preachers shouldn't go out in the country to pastor a church. I keep telling myself that. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can study the Bible in such detail, and I thank you that there's people willing to listen to me put those verses together and seek to follow it along and understand it. And we pray that the result of that would be a better understanding, especially of things like what is grace giving and why is it taught in 2 Corinthians. And then when we read the book of Acts, to understand what Paul's doing, what those churches are involved in, to realize what we need to do as far as realizing what giving is about and making that part of our ministry of worship as well. But most of all, centered around the fact of the gospel and getting the gospel not just in our local area, but getting it out beyond our local area. So we thank you for the things that we can glean as we study these verses together, and thank you for the book of Acts and the treasure of your Bible. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.